Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Well, hello, dear listeners. Welcome to our Sunday morning Achtung Millwall in the aftermath of yesterday's draw, 1-1 with Brentford. I have a very special guest for you, listeners, today. I want to introduce you all to Mr. Paul Mitchell, a.k.a. Mitch. And the clue is in the surname there, Paul, isn't it?
How you doing, Nick?
I'm very good, mate. You have two very talented sons, I believe.
Yeah, I'm very proud there. Very proud father. Obviously, Billy Mitchell is now doing well at Mill, I believe.
Absolutely. Yeah, very much so.
And I have another son called Zach, who is after Coffee, I think. He's at our South London rivals, Charlton.
Is it an England, been chosen for England as well?
He got his first England call up this season and played in a game at St George's Park against Turkey.
Wow.
He did very well and it was a very proud moment.
What position does Zach play in, just out of interest? I'm thinking of future signings here, Paul, really.
he's a predominantly a centre half.
He's defender.
Quite a big one. He's 6'1" at the age of 15, right. Size 11 feet, so that gives you a clue. But he also plays holding midfield player as well. So, but he played for England at centre back, and at the moment he's playing for Charlton in centre midfield. So, all good.
You must be a very proud man, Mitch.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it keeps me busy on a Saturday. It has done from when I were young, driving them here, there, and everywhere. But in dark times, it's sort of kept my focus and very proud. And they progressed very nicely. I mean, hopefully they got good careers ahead of them. You know what football's like, Nick.
It's
a bumpy road sometimes, but all good at the moment.
Well, just out of interest, I mean, obviously we know Billy at Millwall and a huge prospect, I think, for the future. Both hopefully at Millwall, but obviously, you know, who knows where football takes him in time. But what age did you think? Being honest, what age did you think that Billy's got it and maybe he could take this into a career? Does it dawn on you or is there a moment?
It's quite interesting you ask that, Nick, because, you know, every parent's ambition for their son to make it in a professional game. And but it's a very hard game to break into. And but, you know, as regards to Billy, I thought, you know, I always knew he was a very, very good footballer. And his journey started obviously in junior football at Thamesmead Town,
right,
which is a club that I actually played for. One of the clubs, one of the many clubs I played for when I played. And he was very good then, and he sort of represented North Kent and Kent and captained them both. So that sort of when he got that sort of recognition, it sort of made me realise that, you know, he could go on to bigger and better things. And, you know, then he started getting involved in the academy setups. He was part of the South East London, South London rivals also.
Yeah.
But they decided to release him, as they have done with many, many players that have gone on to bigger, better things. So maybe that's an omen going forward. But he went on to, I had to take him over to Tottenham, were interested in him. So I had to make the journey through the tunnel on a, you know, during midweek, which was not very pleasant to their training ground over in Enfield, which got a bit too much, really, Nick. And I don't think he was getting the recognition he deserved there. So one of my good friends who I played with, called Paul Reeves, who's a Mill scout, got in touch with me and said, you know, we wanted him at Mill for ages. And then it went on from there, really.
Fantastic. How is Billy? How's Billy's health at the moment? Obviously, he was unlucky to get that injury at the start of the season. How is he? Is he okay?
Is he improving? He's quite upsetting for him because I felt the vibes were that the manager, he was going to be an integral part of the team from the start of the season. So the timing's not great, but never is with injuries. But he's young enough to bounce back. He's now halfway through his the recovery. He's now out running. Just for your information, at Calmont Road, and doing very well. He's he's aiming for sort of mid October. It's nice to set sights. He said to me the other day that I think the first televised game is Luton.
That's right. A couple of weeks' time, a few weeks' time.
So you can set your sights for that. Maybe that's slightly too early and optimistic, but it's nice to be, positive about these things, and that's the way he's feeling at the moment.
It's interesting what you say about clubs. I mean, all clubs let players go. I mean, we at the Den, obviously, we watch the former QPR player, now Crystal Palace, on a huge sum. I mean, it's part and parcel of the game that some players make it at some clubs and others get let go. It's you have to develop a certain mental toughness to make it in the game.
It's hard because I think especially for the clubs, they must sort of be pulling their hair out sometimes thinking, why did we let the player go? that's £20 million could have been in our coffers. But
it's like not signing the Beatles, isn't it?
It's after the event, Nick, isn't it? At the time they did it for whatever reason. As I say, Billy was let go from Charlton because they felt that he couldn't get around the pitch. Now he gets around the pitch as good as anyone these days. So, but they see what they see, and they make their decisions accordingly, and some good, some bad.
Well, we're very happy he's at the Den, obviously, Mitch, and we wish Bill well and a swift recovery. Just talking about yesterday's game, I mean, you would have watched it on the iFollow, same as we all are at the moment. It's a very strange period in football generally, Mitch, at the moment, having to watch it on TV and not be able to go.
It's very sad, but it's something that we all have to, we're going to have to sort of just get used to, I suppose. It's nice, I paid my £10 to iFollow, and lucky enough it worked yesterday, which is not always the case. I believe that money goes 100% of the money goes back into the club, which is a good thing. Regarding the game, I thought it was an excellent game of football.
I did. Wide open, really, and especially in the second half. I thought it was a great opening goal, Mitch. I mean, what a move down the left by Mason Bennett. It was a player that I like a lot.
That's quite interesting because, I think everyone sort of, Millwall fans, sort of, we love our right-hand side, and we Jed and Mark.
Historically,
And now it's sort of, it was nice to see that, a good goal came from the left side with Mason sort of creating the cross for Jed to finish. And, I think overall it was a really good all-round team performance. They started off really well, high pressing, and it was on the front foot, and everyone was comfortable in possession, which I think the Millwall fans, must be really pleased with. I certainly was. It's nice to have passages of play where we kept the ball for long periods of time, and progressed and created chances at the end of it. So all in all, I thought it was. I mean, don't forget, I think we're obviously playing against a side that ultimately are going to be there or thereabouts in the season and expected to be so. And my personal opinion is I actually think that we play better against footballing sides rather than the hoofers that we played the first two games of the season, because I think it probably encourages us to play a bit more. That's the way I see it. And I thought it was excellent from everyone in the team yesterday. And big shout out to, I think, my man of the match was the captain, Mr. Pearce at the back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the opinion online was divided. I won't fight anyone that says, and to be honest, anyone in the defence. I thought the defence was magnificent yesterday, including Hutch and Cooper as well. But Pearce was a standout. His leadership on field leadership. I also want to. I mean, there was a great finish by Jed Wallace. Someone said online earlier on, when Jed plays well, we play well, and I think he's one of those players, isn't he? He's electric when he's firing on all cylinders, to mix my metaphors a bit. But
great finish. He's the talisman, and the other thing, he's got that extra bit of quality, I suppose, that can win his game. He's his performances last season would tell you that, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. I like Brentford's style of play, and I think it's interesting to watch us kind of starting down this direction, Mitch. I mean, we've always been known as a bit of a 4-4-2 get it long. You know, I mean, it's always tradition, get hit Morrison, get the rebound to Gregory, and I don't know how you feel, but I just felt that star was rather found out a little bit.
I think it's nice if you can get a balance. I mean, you know, ultimately there's times to play football, there's times to play long, and I think that's certainly what seems to me what, you know, the manager's trying to do. And I think, you know, ultimately we all want to see an exciting game of football, and exciting games of football come from, you know, people passing the ball, people travelling with the ball, and you know, goal scoring chances being created. And you know, certainly talk from Billy's perspective, he loves getting on the ball, and he believes he can really add something to the team going forward. And it was one of those games, I feel, that it was pleasing to the eye, Nick.
Sport we all love, but it's wonderful to watch a game unfold in phases, because obviously we started at rip-roaring pace and got the early goal, but then Brentford actually, you know, they have a style that takes control if you let them. And I think, I don't know how you feel, Mitch, but the absence of the crowd in the den allows teams like Brentford, and we've seen it on other occasions, to just start to impose their game slightly in a way.
I was going to say that, Nick. I think, you know, we started off really well on the front foot, pressing high, and, you know, and you know, making them, you know, realise they're in a game. They're always going to come back into it. It's you know, the fact of the matter is they're a good team, and, you know, it's, I think, you know, you've got to understand that they are going to dominate the ball on occasions because of the type of team they are. But I think, as you say, if the fans were there and, you know,
create the atmosphere.
That can happen sooner rather late, although it doesn't look like at the moment. But who knows what can happen around the corner. But, you know, I think they would have driven us on even more and give us even more energy to go and press and to worry them. But, you know, all in all, I think, you know, it's it could have gone either way. They definitely had some chances. There's some last-ditch defending, which was unbelievable, I felt. And also we had the glorious chance, I think, from Tom Bradshaw could have easily sort of snuck in and a penalty shout ourselves. It could have gone either way, definitely.
But I was going to ask him, obviously their penalty was said by Gary Rowett after the game to be a slightly soft penalty. This is the game, isn't it? If you get touched inside the penalty area, few strikers will not take the chance to fall over if there's a touch in your back. So
the way I see it is it was always going to be given as a penalty, and you know, you could argue that he went to ground easily. Yes, he did, and a good striker does that. And it's whether you call it cheating, whether you call it, it's just the way it is.
I mean, the late shout for us, you know, John Daddy. And the point I was just going to ask you about, I mean, are you a fan of VAR in the game, VAR? You're not.
One answer to that. No. It's totally and utterly spoiling football from my perspective. I think that, you know, it's not really sorted. A lot of, you know, there's even more controversy with it, I feel. Especially with the handball situations that arose here from yesterday's Premiership games. But, you know, all in all, I just think it's spoiling the flow of the game. Every time a goal is scored, you know, everyone's looking up at the screen, you know, is it a goal, isn't it a goal? And it's just, I don't know, is it really providing more clarity? I suppose it has with the offside rule, but then you're talking about such fine margins at times, aren't you?
You're talking about shoelaces sometimes, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think there's got to be a little bit of tolerance. I know that people say you're either offside or you aren't, but, you know, maybe a little bit of tolerance might be give the advantage to the attacking team and make it a bit more exciting, you know? I'm not a fan at all.
No, me neither. I mean, I'm just a leading question in that sense, but no, I'm not. But, I mean, just going on to the offside rule is interesting because I was trying to have this debate with my wife, and I don't think she was terribly interested in this either. But, you know, actually, I mean, the law of the game with offside is if you're level, the advantage goes to the attacking side. So but actually with VAR taking decisions down to such fine, literally, you know, one toe, one, you know, could be the most microscopic part of your body forward of the other man, you can't be level. Or the most rare situation would be absolutely dead level.
It's near impossible,
Mitch, you know.
Listen, I understand that, you know, life progresses and, you know, and in lots of sports, things are, you know, brought in. You know, you've got the magic eye, I suppose, in tennis, you've got the
line calls,
and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I, you know, ultimately they are trying to, you know, provide clarity and to make sure that, that the decisions are correct. But it just doesn't seem to be working in football for me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a bit of a dinosaur in that respect. But I just think a lot of people have the same opinion. It's not really working.
I think we're all dinosaurs at Millwall, Mitch. I mean, it was just interesting listening to your own and to Billy and Zach's story about coming through clubs like Thamesmead and, you know, coming from the traditional South East London heartland that supports both clubs. I mean, we have to be honest, Charlton and Millwall. But it's just interesting to contrast that with that Brentford side yesterday. I mean, they favour a kind of a recruitment policy of bringing in often quite unknown players from abroad, whereas we've historically, I mean, Billy's probably a good example of a player that Millwall would hope to have developed, you know, a local boy from a Millwall family. I mean, you know, you're Millwall through and through, Bermondsey born and bred. So, you know, it's just an interesting contrast. I mean, Brentford seem to be going down this Moneyball route, which has done them well, really, Mitch.
I was having this conversation, funny enough, with Billy. I mean, he phoned me after the game and after he obviously was at the game yesterday, in the change room afterwards and listening to the team talk, and then he stuffs his face with all the food that's provided for the players. saves me cooking for him when he comes home. But he always phones me from the car on his journey. Yeah. And then when he come back, we was talking about, funny enough, talking about Brentford and their recruitment policy and how they... It is what you say, it's very different, certainly to Millwall. But they... He explained to me yesterday, there was a lot of analysis on how they attract players and how they recruit players. And it's really in depth. And it's, I mean, look at it as an out and out business, really, I suppose.
Which is what it is.
To sell on and maximise from. But they've got rid of their academy, I believe. And they run a B team, Brentford. And that's how I think that's how they operate, with a B team. And you know, and chop and change their players from there.
Very continental in its approach, because they do in Spain.
Definitely.
And other countries. I mean, we've always put great store on Ben Thompson, another good example, Mill players through and through, local boys, you know, character. And I think that's probably always going to be part of Millwall's, and I include Billy in this, part of Millwall's DNA, as was put yesterday by the Brentford manager. I think it's a very important part. It's a club where you just can't fake it, Mitch.
I think it's essential to Millwall they maintain that. I think it's great. I mean, I'm not just saying it because Billy's coming through the academy and he's where he is, but I think it's great to see in football that players are developed from within. You know, the fans love it, one of their own, so to speak, and they can cheer that on. And also, you know, there's some great talent in the academies around. And you know, why spend money when you don't have to? You know, and
absolutely, absolutely.
You've got assets there that are. And you know, maybe Millwall haven't done enough over the years. I don't know. But there's chances there to generate revenue, to sell players on. You know, ultimately you like them in your own side, and for them to be, you know, assets to our team. But you know, also they can provide money if bought from other clubs. I think it's essential to the academy to carry on as it is.
I was just looking at our back line there. I mean, obviously both Bart Bielkowski and Alex Pearce were established players elsewhere. They've had a career to date, and you know, they've come to Millwall relatively advanced into their careers, I guess. But if you look at both Jake Cooper and Sean Hutchinson, both were, you know, a bit part players at their respective clubs. Reading and I believe Hutch came from Fulham, if memory serves. But
he did.
But both have come into their own and have been developed as the first choice players, and both would possibly, you know, would think of themselves as higher level players than what they are at the moment at Millwall. It's, I always find it interesting how we're a club that loves to watch a kid come along, so to speak. You know, it's almost it's part of who we are, Mitch, isn't it? I'd include in that sentence, you know.
No, definitely. I mean, as I just said, the crowd love it. I've seen you know, Ben and Billy, you know, in the team, and you know, hopefully going forward, providing providing them with good performances and giving them something to cheer. It's
absolutely great to see Marlon and Scott Malone, the return of Scott Malone, but it's great to see Marlon back firing on full cylinders.
I thought he was outstanding as well. I mean, I could go on and on because I thought the whole team were excellent yesterday. But you know, if you're talking about
individual
with Marlon was definitely up there with one of the best performers. He was constantly involved in the game. Constantly a menace, wasn't he, down the right hand side, him and Jed linking up as per usual. And I think it does take time. He's obviously out for a bit, and does take time to get back into the fold and as we all know, footballers, that there's nothing like game time. I mean, you can train as much as you like, but you need a few games to find your feet again. And I think he was excellent yesterday, definitely.
Absolutely. We'll name check the whole teams. I thought Ryan Leonard did well. I know that he's what bit like Billy, I suppose. He's been played in various positions in that midfield, and also, on the right in the early games of the season. But
there's some good players there, Nick. I think it's what I get the impression that the manager wants to install is out and out belief that there's some really good quality within the squad, and to sort of believe in it and showcase it. And, I think it's probably the time's come now for Mill to have higher ambitions and believe that they deserve to be in the top six or top eight. And pushing for that, then playoff places or even automatic promotion. Why not? Why not?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, talk about the strength of the squad, because yesterday when they showed the team news, and obviously the first choice team, roughly what I would have, what I would have picked, possibly, spot on overall. But then you look at the bench, and actually it's probably the first time that I can think of, Mitch, in a long while, where you think, actually, that doesn't look like a bad-looking bench. You know, you've got Matt Smith sitting on there. You've got Ben Thompson sitting on there. You've even now Frank Fielding back. I know that he's been out a long time. But we're not suddenly the bench looks like you've got the manager's got options to bring into the game and change it. And as he did yesterday, Mahoney and these kinds of players. And actually, it doesn't look like a bad-looking substitutes bench.
I couldn't agree more.
It's a long while since we've been able to say that, isn't it?
It is. And you've got some fringe players, some younger ones they're trying to develop as well. But I mean, obviously that's going to take its time. But you looked at that bench and you felt if it needed to be changed, there's some really good options there, isn't there? And I think obviously, Matt Smith would have been chomping at the bit. He's been scoring goals and whatever, and you've got Conor Mahoney who's put some really good performances in. So and Ben Thompson who's full of energy. So yeah, definitely some a good bench, definitely.
I think some interesting quotes after the game yesterday. I picked out this one from Thomas Frank, the Brentford manager. Well, he says the front three are really dynamic and a constant threat. Yesterday's front three being Mason Bennett, Bradshaw, Tom Bradshaw and Jed Wallace. And I think that's an interesting take because the movement and the energy that all three bring, I mean, especially Mason Bennett and in fairness to Tom Bradshaw, his work rate is immense up front. And that movement will always create chances, won't it?
Yeah, it's so obvious to the eye that how much hard work they put into their performances. All them three, and they did worry the Brentford defence yesterday, in my view, and they will do all season. And it's as you say, chances will come from pressure. You put pressure on people, it makes people panic, and hopefully going forward, we maintain that.
And this one from Richard Crawley, the South London Press, says, as we've been saying, Mitch, it's been a decent game. Mill have gone toe-to-toe with one of the fancied sides in the Championship. And I think that's probably the best summary of all, really, because Brentford are a rated side. And you could see it in yesterday's game. You could see the quality that the quality they brought off the bench themselves. Ben Rama, very, very good player.
They're liked by a lot of people, Brentford, and, they are very pleasing to the eye. Obviously, they fell at the final hurdle last year, and expectations are that they'll be in the same place again at the end of the season. And, I couldn't disagree with that, really. So, yeah, we did go toe-to-toe with them, and I think, you couldn't look at that game and say, ultimately, that Brentford were a class above. That certainly weren't the case.
But you see us finishing, Mitch? I mean, obviously, hard to be specific, but I would think of us as certainly as a top 10 side, top six, in your opinion?
Top 10, but if Billy's back in playing, top 6.
I like that.
Obviously, I have to choke that one in. No, ultimately, I think the ambition's there. As I say, I think the manager's put, you know, installing that belief in the players, and I think you can see it. I mean, I think it's well documented, Nick, that the togetherness, and obviously I hear it from Billy, and the changing room, let's call it the changing room, as everyone says, is full of characters. It's full of humour and togetherness.
It seems to be, doesn't it? Yeah,
and I think it has to be, but sometimes it's not always like that at clubs. You get players who are disruptive and at clubs, and that's certainly not the case from what I can hear and what I can see. I mean, all totally the opposite, and it does reflect in, I think, in the performances I've seen. And hopefully that can carry us forward alongside the obvious talent that they have. So, let's hope that we can be there or thereabouts.
Fantastic, spoken well, like a true father as well, with with that great tip there.
Achtung, Mehlball.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Achtung Millwall Yearbook is now available via the MillwallSupportersClub.co.uk store. Visit the MillwallSupportersClub.co.uk store and buy your copy of the Achtung Millwall Yearbook. Just £13, including postage and packing within the UK. It's 128 pages worth of Millwall news, views and opinion. It's a great Christmas present. Visit the MillwallSupportersClub.co.uk store. All profits will benefit Demelza, Evelina and the Mill Community Trust Foods Delivery Service.
Now, I'm going to bounce you a few questions now, because I sent these over to you, Mitch, so feel free to pass them, anyway, mate.
My memory is not that great these days. Neither's mine,
mate. It all becomes merged into one over the years. So don't worry about that. Mm. I think there's quite a few like that. We used to do what we used to call a listed lions thing, where we just introduce somebody and get a little bit of a sense of who they are and their Millwall kind of credentials, I suppose you'd call it. Now, obviously, as father to Billy, then you're going to have extra interest in the Mitchell credentials in their Millwall pedigree. So can you remember your first game as a Millwall fan, Mitch?
No, I can't.
It would have been
my father. I mean, I say we was my dad actually worked at a New Cross bus garage as a bus driver for a number of years, and we lived in some flats which were literally stones throw from the court. Probably a mile from the ground, really. And my nan lived opposite Zampa Road, Inverney Road, and give you a bit of background. And myself and Billy, when he was first at the academy, used to take some pie mash to me nan before we used to go to games on Saturdays or midweek games. Going back to when I used to go to school around the corner in a school called Leith in Lowe, if anyone remembers that.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to my first game, I can't remember a long time ago. It would have been obviously at the old den, and I can't remember who the opposition would have been. Nick, I'd have been lying if I said I do. But,
you were absorbed into it from an early
age. Yeah, you know what it's like when you're young. You know, you're looking at the crowd more than the game, aren't you? You're looking at what's going on, certainly at Millwall anyway.
Well, it was a wondrous place, Coldblow Lane. I mean, I know we all wax lyrical about it of a certain age. I actually like the new stadium a lot. New stadium.
Yeah, I do.
It's nearly 30 years old now, Mitch. I know when we stopped calling it the new stadium, but I like it a lot. I think it's a fantastic venue for football. You know, yeah. when you go away, you do notice the difference, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that, you know, the old den was the old den, but the new one is, we say, not so new anymore, but it's definitely a special atmosphere there. But the fans make that, don't they, Nick?
They do. That's what it's all about.
It does, wherever the stadium, I don't know how stadiums are built these days, but it does seem to, you know, when it's loud, it's extremely loud there, and it's, you know, it's a good place to go and watch football. You know, I'm positioned up in the Barry Kitchener up a tier.
Right.
So that's where I am. But yeah, no, it's obviously lovely to go over there, and especially when you know, I'm watching Billy play.
Well, Billy will know of the atmosphere of the den anyway, but I'm always intrigued and fascinated how it is to be a player in front of a full house. I mean, I suppose he's only just at the start of his career, but
yeah, I mean, it's early days for him. You know, so I think he's been the biggest crowd. He's probably, I mean, obviously he made his championship debut away, wasn't it? He played the FA Cup against Newport when there was only one stand being used there. But then Sheffield United, he played 90 minutes in that game as well. So it's obviously very, very exhilarating to play in front of the crowd, and he loves every minute of it.
Who's your favourite all-time player, Mitch? Your favourite? Well, Millwall player and general player. I mean, let's give you a choice. You've got Millwall player and football.
I think Millwall player. I think I'm going to go for Neil Harris. I mean, I think that he's Millwall. You know, he was Millwall through and through. I think he was an excellent striker. You know, probably underrated, if anything, you know, and in his time, he also, you know, obviously, you know, was a well-respected manager for the club, and gave Billy his debut at Wigan season. So, well, it's season four, the last season, but now. I'll go for Neil Harris.
That's a good choice. That's a good choice. Yeah. I mean, I think it's obviously for there's probably, you know, younger fans now that only know him really as the kind of late period player and then the manager. But I think it's quite hard to get across sometimes just how strong a striker he was in his heyday when he was young.
Definitely, because he wasn't the biggest of players for that position, but he was strong, and you know, his goal scoring instincts were excellent. But
absolutely ruthless.
I will just chuck in it, going back. This is not my era, but I was speaking to my father telling him I was going to have a chat with yourself today, and he's you know, after his days as a bus driver, New Cross bus going to become a black cab driver, which is the obvious transition to a black cab driver. He used to socialise with an old Millwall player. I'm sure everyone will know Alan Dawney.
Dawney, oh, he was a great defender.
He was a good friend with Alan Dawney, and he used to sort of drink with him and another guy called Eamon Dunphy. I don't know if you know Eamon Dunphy.
He was playing when I first started going, Dunphy, and he's a character in his own right. He's
I mean, my dad's 73, so we're sort of talking a bit he wanted me to mention that. So
Dawney was a great defender. Really, I'd almost describe him as an elegant defender in a way. Unusual for a Millwall defence. I mean, Kitchener was obviously alongside him as the kind of man mountain. But Dawney had a touch of the. He'd probably be embarrassed if I mentioned like a touch of the Franz Beckenbauers, but is that kind
Bobby
of?
Moore.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that kind of defender. Yeah. Dunphy, I only saw a few times. He was right at the end of his career, and I was right at the start of my third time. But he was a very good midfielder, and has gone on to be a great writer and journalist in Ireland. So, he wrote. He wrote a biography of Sir Matt Busby, and I think it's an account of the band U2 and some others as well. He's a very outspoken Irish media figure, and I think he does his own podcast series now, which if I remember right is called The Stand with Eamon Dunphy.
I'll have to let my dad know that.
He's quite intellectual. He's a clever man. He's a very intelligent man, Eamon Dunphy. So two good calls by your dad there. Say thank you to me.
I will do.
For me, That's got me, mate. It's supposed to be your show. And I'm,
no, listen, it's all Millwall talk. It's all good to me. It's fine.
I'm going to put you on the spot now, Mitch.
Please don't ask.
No one in the current squad. No one in the current squad. Who's the worst Millwall player you've ever seen play for the Lions?
You know, Nick. You know the answer. I would never do that. You never rubbish a Millwall player. It's more than your life's worth.
Well, go on, so
if you don't mind, I'll pass on that.
No, Nick, absolutely.
Maybe I'll leave it like this. You know, in the goalkeeping area, there's been a few dodgy moments.
Very diplomatically put, Mitch. Yeah. I said to Mitch before we started recording this, listeners, that I'll edit anything out. They don't want to, you know, they wish they hadn't said after. So well dodged there. What was your most memorable match as a Millwall fan, Mitch? Anyone that stands out in particular?
I was thinking about it. I think, you know, you probably, the playoff final against Bradford when Morrison scored the win. I think it sort of just jumps out. I mean, in recent times, as an unbelievable moment, you know. So we'll go for that one, Nick, I think.
Good call. I mean, it was a great day a great finish, and a game.
You know, and by another Millwall legend, I suppose, really. And Steve Morrison, you know, him and Gregory's partnership was, is very fondly remembered by most Millwall fans, I'd imagine.
It was a mainstay of the side, really, wasn't it? Over about three or four periods he spent with the club, but I mean, his Morrison's track record speaks for itself. I think
he was there when Billy first came into the first team training sessions, and Billy did say to me, he's quite a scary sort of character, but he took Billy under his wing and did look after him. So, you know, sort of hats off to him for that. And he was a good player and a good pro.
I think we love our characters at the Den, don't we, Mitch? You know, we love a player to have a little bit more to him than just the just obviously the playing side is most important, but we do love a character down there.
I suppose another one's got to mention Tim Cahill, another character and a good player and a goal scoring midfield player.
Absolutely. Did you have any funny moments that spring to mind over the years?
Oh no, I can't. You know what? I think my memory is not what it used to be. And I think going back, you know, my Millwall days, you know, obviously it was more when I was young, and my dad used to take us over there. And, you know, I can't remember sort of 2 months ago, let alone sort of 20, 30 years.
Where did you used to stand?
In Coldblow Lane.
The Coldblow Lane.
Because that was
a bank of terracing that was full of characters there, Mitch.
Yeah, it was full of characters.
Absolutely full of characters. I think I've said it a few times, but I'll say it again now. One of my first memories when I first started going, I was only about 11, was of a very large gentleman, always wore a greasy mac, you know, like a coat. And he would have an old kind of wooden-made radio that he would hold to his head. This was in the era before the internet, long before that was ever even conceived. And he would shout out wrong scores to mislead people. I don't know why he did it. And he would shout out.
It probably made him and his mates laugh.
I think it only made him laugh. I don't think he had many mates, because he was just like a grotesque kind of, you know, something out of Charles Dickens. You know, this kind of grotesque figure standing behind the goal. And he would shout out that, I don't know, Man United getting beat 3-0 when they were winning or something, you know, stuff like that. And as a kid, you know, you kind of, I think you touched on it there, you kind of stand there with your jaw agape at what you're seeing, you know.
It's amazing some of the things you hear, and it's sort of eye-opening, and lessons in life.
Lessons in life,
isn't it? And does make you makes you a bit more aware of certain characters in there.
I can't ask your current favourite player, because if it's not Billy Mitchell, I don't know who it's going to be. You know?
Well, you didn't ask me that, and I thought that's an obvious answer would be Billy. But, you know, listen, I think, you know, as we go, I think, let's go back to what I was saying earlier. I think the squad is and the team's in an excellent place, and the club's in a good place. I mean, albeit, you know, obviously COVID's put everyone under a bit of pressure, but I think, you know, the club's in a, you know, with owners in a stable position, and the team's in a very good position. And it's a pleasure to that Billy's, I know Billy thinks this way, and I certainly do, that he's part of it at the moment. And, you know, he believes he can, give some added value. I certainly do, because I know his qualities, having sort of, you know, seen him seen him grow as a footballer. So it just down to him to get, you know, it's awesome. If you need, I think you need 10, 15 games, let's say championship games from the start to prove your worth. And that'd be for any player, I think, coming into a team. I mean, it's pretty similar to, I think he's last year, who was Brighton player, Lumbey.
Jason
started off slowly, but then he sort of maintained his position in the team and grew as a player and was excellent for us, you know. So I think you know, it's very, I'll never judge anyone, whether it's Billy or whether it's anyone coming into a team on one stroke, two games. I think that's pretty unfair, but and I don't think managers do that anyway. I think they're more professional, more understanding of that.
Well said, mate. I'm going to spare you, with two sons in professional football, I'm going to spare you the most hated opponents' questions. And
well, I think
just in case they play for them.
I don't mind saying this. Obviously, the most hated opponent is the team, and anyone who plays for them is West Ham, I suppose.
You were so diplomatic all the way through it.
I've let myself down then, Nick, haven't I? But I'll stick with that one. I'm not sure there's too many West Ham fans listening to the podcast anyway. But
you never know, mate. You never know. This show goes far and wide. That's fantastic. Paul Mitchell. Wonderful stuff, mate.
Okay,
really,
lovely to speak to you.
Really appreciate it. Perhaps, you know, if you fancy it sometime, we'll do this again.
Anytime, Nick. Hopefully we have a good season. I'm sure we will. And it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
And send our best wishes to Billy and to Zach, actually. let's not forget him. But
I will,
Mitch, thank you very much, mate. All the best.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah, take care.
And take care, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Bye.
Thank you for listening to After Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. However, it's actually Millwall. Till next time.
1 and 2 coverage, Acton Millwall recommends the Football League paper. It's got it all covered. For the complete EFL picture, get the Football League paper, £1.50 every Sunday, or visit theleaguepaper.com for a variety of digital subscriptions. The Football League paper. It's got it covered.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.